Let's start with a word of prayer. Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for just your nourishment. We thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for those who are just hungry and thirsty for you right now, in need of your touch. I just pray that your words, God, would be effective. They would go and it would write into the tablets of our hearts. And Lord, free us, heal us, God, and save us. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about math. It's probably not a, when you talk about inner healing, which is our series, you probably don't think, wow, really like to learn a little bit more about math, right? Now, how many people hate math? Don't like it? Okay, all right, thank you. I see that hand. We're gonna lay hands and, all right, now, that's not what this is, but I would say that you may identify with the statement, math can hurt you. Math can hurt you. Now, maybe you don't quite understand what I'm saying. Dr. C.N. Baylock, he's a professor of psychology at University of Chicago, he says this, for someone who has math anxiety, the anticipation of doing math prompts a similar brain reaction as when they experience pain, say burning one's hand on a hot stove. Matter of fact, people who don't really like math and they do math, it helps to take Tylenol, and it relieves the pain, actually. That's what the article was talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit about, like, kingdom versus natural algebra, okay? And a mathematician, a Persian mathematician by the name of Khwarizmi, I don't know exactly how to pronounce that, but math, the algebra means, it's an Arabic term, means algebra, I don't know if some of you heard that term before, means the reunion of broken parts, okay? So if you know anything about algebra, I don't know if, you know, we have some teens and preteens doing algebra or pre-algebra, but algebra is about balancing an equation, isn't it? Right? And every day, we're wired. I don't know why, but God created us this way. Matter of fact, and we'll talk about more next week when we talk about worship, but worship, it's a compound word, and we call that worship. And so God is worthy. That's a numeric term. God is worthy. And so now, every day when you, from the moment you wake up, your brain, consciously and subconsciously, is always doing math. Always doing math. You walk out the door, you go to work, and you're kind of like, okay, you know, am I doing more than I'm getting paid? And then you're like, you get a little bitter. You didn't pay me to do this. Or you come to church and you're serving and other people don't serve, and they balance that imbalance. Or the equation, you're okay. Because as long as it balances out, right? Long as the equation is balanced, you're okay. Now, when the equation is imbalanced in your favor, sometimes you're very happy. But sometimes you're not, actually. Like, you don't want people, for instance, you don't want to be indebted to other people. Right? People do you a favor, you know, you want to pay them back right away, you know, because you don't like that, because you think they have some leverage over you. I don't know if you think like that. But you don't like to be indebted to people. And some of you are too good at being indebted to other people. And now, when I say that, I don't know if you realize you are like that. As many as I hear, you know, people like complaining about Delta, when I hear parents complain about Delta, like, to be honest, here's the struggle that I have, all right? My kids aren't in Delta. You guys never said, hey, why don't we have Delta when my kids were in, actually, you know? And I know that Jeannie, right? Her kids aren't in Delta, never been in Delta. Singles. I don't know if you guys think, oh, thank you. Nobody thanks, you know, people that don't have children in Delta. Nobody thanks Sunday school. I don't know if you do thank the other Sunday school teachers. You complain about Delta. You know what I'm saying? But we're wired that way. Because we see math from our own perspective. And then sometimes serving. And it's the math. And the math kills us. Somebody disagrees with you. There's an imbalance. You owe me now. Because you hurt me. Anytime. That's why we have the legal system, right? You sue people that hurt you. It's monetary, actually. We monetize injury. And then you feel like, okay, you know, okay, well, $1 million, you know, I slipped and I fell. Okay, I'm okay with that. That's how we think about it. We're always doing math, right? I do math. And here's another honest confession. When I pray for your kids, when I pray for you, and I pray for you every day. Now, some of you, I don't pray for every day, all right? If you're in my home group, I pray for you every day, all right? Robert prays and other home group leaders pray for you and your kids, okay? But then I pray, God lays people on my heart, and I'm praying for you, I pray for your children, and I pray in as much detail as I can. I struggle with that. But I'm not going to lie to you. There are times when I think, you know, you don't pray for my kids. I think that. Those thoughts come to my mind. Yeah, you don't pay me to be a pastor, right? You don't think. And so when people like come and you know, and they do this, and sometimes in my mind, in my heart, I'm like, do I need to do this? This is the mentality that we have. This is the life. This is where the rubber meets the road. And we're wired this way. Right? And this is some of the reasons why, you know, maybe you don't have full-time pastors. Because to be honest, there's an aspect that we don't trust you. You'll probably scrutinize and, you know, and having two jobs as pastors, like, it's hard. It is hard. And you have to do that math. But nobody says, you know what, why don't you quit your job? You know, it's got to be hard. You know, nobody's saying it. Now, I'm not saying this to elicit yourself, you know, like your sympathy and pity and, oh, Henry, you know, why don't you quit your job? I'm going to quit my job anyway. But anyway, the point is, the math has got to work. You can't live because you'll continue to get injury. Now, part of, you know, inner healing is recalling things where there was an imbalance in the past. Because there's, wherever there's injury, there's imbalance. The equation didn't work. And if there's traumatic injury, there's great imbalance. That's the way. And scripture lays out in numeric terms, actually. Like sin and damage, numerically. Because that's just the way we're wired. God is a great mathematician. But then there's natural, broken math. And we saw that last week when we saw the baby video, didn't we? We are born with this sense, you gotta write this. We are born with a sense of justice, which is, what is the picture of Lady Liberty? What is it? She's holding what? A balance, a scale. That's Lady Liberty, right? Justice is when everything seems balanced. That's fair. That's fair. And when things are not fair, you get angry. You know, when you feel like I'm doing more dishes than, you know, my husband, or my husband is not pulling his weight, and, you know, you just feel like, I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is we all got a problem. And here's the thing. Life, people are never going to be grateful enough. They're never going to appreciate you enough. And here's the thing. They're always going to take you, you know, for granted. And often they'll take advantage of you. Now, this is the life that God has called us into. And if you become a Christian now, right, this is the thing. Some of you are thinking, I'm doing my share. So all of us who are serving, you're probably balanced in the equation, but you're doing it naturally. Naturally. So it's not just about helping you go, oh, Henry, I didn't know you like were sinful. You know what I mean? Like, I heard three phrases, right? A lot of, in the congregation, you know, and I do this with other people too, you know, and I it was like a fresh reminder. We either idolize people or we demonize people, especially pastors. We either idolize them or we demonize them. And he says, you know, well, we have to try to get us to humanize them. And I hope when I come up here to share that you get to see my humanity, right? And you get to humanize me a little bit. Because, you know, obviously, you know, these are the everyday struggles. So I empathize with this. Matthew 18:21 says, and Peter came up and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I did not say you seven times, but 77 times. 70 times seven, really. Which is really saying never, you never stop forgiving. There is, Jesus frames life and people and relationships in this equation. And it's saying, and it's just, you ever, what is 23 minus 19? Abby. I'm sorry for that. Okay, the way we're taught, okay, 3 minus 9. Oh, okay, well, I can't do 3 minus 9 because that's a negative number. I have to carry what? The 1 over from the 2. Right? I know, as I'm doing this mental math, you guys are like, what is he talking about? I don't understand. All right. We'll do remedial math later. But this is, all right? But you got to carry the one over. Now, life, we don't think that two is there. There's nothing to carry over. And life, kingdom life, is about finding that quantity to carry over. Cause you think the math doesn't work. I've done enough. I'm drowning. And it doesn't work. Now, if you're good at algebra, you'll say, well, you carry, you know, you subtract the one from the two, right? Carry over the one is 13 minus 9, and then one minus one is zero, so it's four. Now that's the way we're supposed to do it, isn't it? Now, kingdom math is, you carry over from an infinite, eternal amount. Okay? This is your food. This is what you discover. Every time I feel that equation, I have to go to Jesus and I have to carry over that number. And here's the thing. This is where the rubber meets the road, and that's real. That's real. If you don't discover that, and you're living life, you know, with a balance and a fairness thing, maybe you've got great internal capacity, and you can, like, you know, like, you don't do your, you know, it's not a 1 through 10 kind of a number system, you got 1 through, you know, 50 number system, and whatever it is, the point is, everybody has to carry something over at some point. That's where you meet Jesus. That's where you meet Jesus. That's where you meet Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you'll never carry anything over. And if you never meet Jesus, and if you've never carried anything over, and you've never felt that wind and strength from Jesus, you may not be a Christian. How about that? Because you can't do worship. Because worship is saying you're worth it. You're worth it. When Jesus said, I have given them your glory, right? What Jesus is saying in John chapter 17, which says, I've given them their glory to his disciples. The math is going to work. The math is going to work. The reason you're able to surrender your life to Jesus is because the math works. Somewhere in your mind, right? Not the natural mind, right? But the mind that is a new creation, that math works. You can't explain it, but you know how to carry it over. After he tells Peter, okay, to forgive more than he can possibly forgive, now Jesus gives him this parable. He says, the parable of the kingdom. And he does kingdom math. All right? Here's kingdom math. All right? Now, let me just set up the story. He says to a servant who owes him 10,000 talents. Okay? Now, he forgives the servant that owes the king 10,000 talents. And then the servant goes away. And then that servant has another servant. And he owes him 100 denarii. But he doesn't forgive him and throws him in jail. That's the parable. So the servant owed the king $6 billion. Here's the math, right? One talent equals 6,000 denarii, and one denarii, right, is a day's wage, and I'm assuming that's about $100. So that's $6 billion. And he can't forgive $10,000. So, $6 billion, we call that in the budget community, budget dust. $10,000 is nothing. You subtract $10,000 from $6 billion, it's still $6 billion. And here's what, let's read it. Now, after the master finds out that he didn't forgive this other servant, after he forgave him $6 billion in debt, this is what he says. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, wicked. You're doing natural math. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" You know what Jesus goes on to say, right? This is not an option. This is not an option, by the way. Every day when you walk out that door, you don't even have to walk out the door. Every day when you get up out of your bed, actually, you don't even have to get up out of your bed, right? From the moment you open your eyes, and you might even have had a dream or something, you know, because I remember many days my wife would wake up and she had that stinky eye. She had a dream. I did something. I was like, okay, what did I do? Okay? To be honest, I've had those dreams myself. But this is the truth here now. Here it is. When you become a Christian, right, you're not entitled to not forgive that debt. You're not entitled. You can't leverage somebody. That equation, well, my kids are never in Delta. Well, you guys don't pray for me. That's not part of the equation. When those thoughts are trying to come up, right? That's called sin. Yeah, sin. When you're trying to balance, do that math. And here's the emotion of that math. It's called self-pity. It's called self-pity. When you are departing kingdom math and you're doing natural math in your mind about life and when you're deciding what you want to do. Because you know what Jesus says? My food is what? My food is to do the will of Him. You know, I wish I could say, hey guys, like you're struggling with math. You're struggling, let's say, with serving. I would love to say, hey, don't serve. Don't serve. Then you wouldn't struggle. But here's the thing. I'm robbing you of the food because the will of God is for you to serve. The will of God is for you to get into situations where you have to forgive. I know. It's tough. Every day. Now, here's how, let's get practical. Here's how you do kingdom math. This is how Jesus, right, is laying it out for us. This is the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me. This is about the Holy Spirit. For He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is helping us to glorify Jesus. Is because the Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through him, and that means you're not doing it primarily for them. Parents, you're doing everything, not for your kids, but for Jesus. How do you know if you're not doing it for Jesus? So the math won't work. Math won't work. Self-pity will set in, right? How do you know you're loving your spouse in the name of the Lord Jesus? How do you know you're doing it to glorify him? Because self-pity, disappointment, heartache, injury, bitterness, all those things. And here's the good news. What am I saying? The good news is if you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you do it for the glory of God, oh, you get to carry it over. You know what glorify means? To reflect the glory that comes this way, you get to reflect out that way. You can't reflect what you do not receive. If you don't do it, then you can't glorify. So my food is to do the will of God. Why? Because if I do it for his glory, the glory will come down. So if you feel weak and starving, then practice it. Go and serve. Care for people. Care for people that can't pay you back. Isn't that what Jesus says? Colossians 3:23. Then he says this, right after he says that. He says, whatever you do, work heartily. Work heartily. Work heartily for people who are going to be ungrateful. Work heartily as for the Lord and what? And not for men. Wow. Because you know why? You don't even notice it. Because you get crushed under the weight of self-pity when you do it for people. And you don't, I know you say, no, I do it for the glory of God. It's just that, but the glory isn't coming down. Why is the glory? Because the glory of God coming down is why it's food. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not serving your children. You're not serving your spouse. You're not serving your church. You're serving Jesus Christ. You're not serving your church's church members, children, and visitors' children at Delta. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that math will work 100% of the time. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything, in everything, God may be what? Glorified. What are you through Jesus Christ? You know what you're saying when you're doing imbalancing work? Jesus cannot have glory when you live a balanced life. When they see, why are they doing that? They're not even getting paid. Why is that person teaching Sunday school? They don't even have children there. I'm saying this because, you know, Robert and I were just talking, oh, if we have Sunday school shortage, maybe we can make, you know, parents who don't, you know, who has kids, you know, maybe we say the policies, then you have to do Sunday school. That would be the natural way of looking at it. And this is the hard part about life, isn't it? Jesus cannot be glorified if you don't get into situations where you have to cover people's debt. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Your will is to do what? The will of God. To carry other people's burdens. To serve them. To be hospitable. To get into debt, allow people, and then forgive. Because you know why? Love covers a multitude of sins. 2 Corinthians 12:20, 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We're so concerned about our children being disadvantaged when they go to school. So we'll do sports like crazy. We want them to be the smartest, be the best instrument, you know, best. Because we never want them to feel like, because we think self-esteem is everything. The most important thing about raising your children, and just remember this, I say this from a heart of conviction as a parent, because this is where I failed the most, I would say. If they don't know how to carry over, to do kingdom algebra, because you're never weak. You know what I'm saying? You're never weak, because it's when you're weak, you have to carry that over. It's when you're weak, you need the strength that comes from Jesus Christ. It's only when you do it for the glory of God. You don't even realize you're doing it for other people. You only realize it when you become bitter, okay? And self-pity sits in, okay, that you realize that. And that's okay. Jesus is not condemning us. It happens to me all the time. But you know what? I promise you this. The first thing he wants to get after when you're in that state is what? Forgive. Forgive. Here's the invitation. Come to me, all who labor. Now, the invitation are people who are getting into these situations where they're laboring. You know, you have children, you have spouses, you have friends, you have church people. You know, you're giving of yourself. The invitation for those who are giving of yourself and are just burdened by it. The equation is not working out. It's not working out. He says, and I will give you rest. Come, because that is heavy, heavy. Carrying around self-pity, bitterness, burdens, it's heavy. Take my yoke upon you. That's the yoke of Jesus. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you put on the yoke of Jesus Christ, you will be able to every day carry over, okay? And here's the thing. He is more than sufficient for you. It's called contentment. You got to discover it. Contentment comes from doing kingdom math. Contentment comes when we yoke with Jesus. And let's end with this verse. This is daily prayer. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And here it is. And forgive us our debts. Now there's, a debt is more than just what we call sin. All sin is debt, but not all debt is sin. Debts. You know, when you disappoint me, you're indebted. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I do something for you, and you didn't do it back. I mean, not doing it back is not sin, but you feel the debt. I was generous to you, you're not generous to me. You know? I do this for you, I did that. You know, it's like, there's debt. There's debt always between us and Jesus. And Jesus is always forgiving our debts. And it says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It is assumed now. That's the prayer. God, help me do this. Every day you have to forgive. Every day you don't carry that to the next day. You carry that to the next day and the next day and the next day and next year, year after that. And you've not forgiven your parents, you've not forgiven your children, your friends, and it's weighing on you, and it's killing you. And here's the next one. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, this is where the enemy is. This is where darkness lies. And then Jesus then wants to now, a point that he's made in those prayers, teaching us how to pray, what does he reiterate and emphasize? Forgiveness. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you are unable, incapable of doing kingdom math, it's time for you to become a Christian, to understand fully what it means. You know why? Because the enemy veils our eyes. It doesn't work. Love doesn't work. It's always going to be conditional because you don't know how to carry it over. When you become a Christian, you experienced it when you became a Christian, right? It's like being in love, isn't it? That's why Jesus says, right? Being religious is doing natural math well in the church. You're just religious. And you feel kind of good about yourself because you're doing more than other people. That's religious. Kingdom math, there's a privilege. I believe with all my heart it is an absolute privilege. And you know, this is funny. I hear other pastors that really love being pastors, and I love listening to pastors that love being pastors. And you know what they say to me? It says, you know, don't say this to my congregation. I would do it for free. Right? I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Right? It is an absolute privilege to serve at Delta. It is an absolute privilege to pray for your children. It is an absolute privilege. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we either believe that or we don't believe that, but there's an emotion when that math works. It is very healing when you can do that. It is absolutely healing. And I just want to, you know, as we come up now, I'm just going to close, but just as we praise, right? I just want to spend some time, right? And let's pray the Lord's Prayer. You don't have to try to, you know, just say, hey, if you remember, if you know right now those areas of your lives where the math is just not working out for you, allow God, glorify God. God, retrospect, God, I forgot, I did that for you. And if there are areas where you feel just you've been injured and hurt, and that math isn't working, carry it over. Let God just, hey, look, they're never going to pay you back. And here's the thing, that's okay. Because Jesus is covering down. That's what it means. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's not just your sins. It's other people's sins. Other people's sins against you. Love will cover that. His love will cover that. All the math works. So let's pray and allow the worth of God just fall over you and let him sing love, okay, over you as we come to him in worship. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray, God, for your glory to fall. God, we just want to spend time, Jesus, both in the past, current, and future. Everything that we've ever done, we want to confess now, has been for your glory. And if they weren't, we want to say it now that they are for your glory. And I just pray, God, everything that we do from here henceforth is for your glory. And so, God, would you just pour, God, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness? Would you sing over those who are struggling right now with self-pity, with bitterness, unforgiving hearts? Just sing over us, Lord, and just release us, God, to the freedom and contentment that you call us to. Help us to yoke with you, Jesus.